Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Innocence of Job, as we pick up in Job chapter 13, verse 19. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Job is maintaining steadfastly his innocence in these things. That's what's making the guy so angry. It's completely opposed to their doctrine. Surely a righteous man should not suffer. If you have enough faith, you're not going to suffer. You can overcome anything with your faith. You can just command God to do what you want. This is the philosophy that these men were holding. Who is he that will plead with me? For now if I hold my tongue, I'll die. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Now Job has turned to God. He's through talking to his friends. He wants to talk to God. And he is saying to God, now look, there are two things that I ask you don't do. First of all, give me a breather. Withdraw your hand from me. These boils, this pain, this suffering that I'm going through. Please, for a time, withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. I don't want to be afraid of just what God may do. Then call, and I will answer. Give your charges. Give me a chance to answer you, Lord. Tell me what's wrong. Show me where I've failed. Show me where I've gone wrong. Let me have a chance to answer you. Or, turn it around, Lord. Let me plead my case with you. Let me speak, and then you answer me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Lord, what have I done? Show me where I've gone wrong. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and hold me as your enemy? Will you break a leaf that is driven to and fro? God, I'm so feeble. I'm like a leaf, a dried leaf in the fall that is just crushed under the step. Will you break me like a leaf? Driven to and fro? Or will you pursue dry stubble? Lord, I'm nothing. For you write bitter things against me, and you make me to possess the iniquities of my youth. And so Job says, is it something that I did when I was a kid? Are you bringing up now the past, that which was way back there? Now, everybody has things in their youth that they would like to bury. When David was praying, he said, remember not the sins of my youth. But Job goes back, Lord, was there something when I was a child that I've done that you're punishing me for now? You put my feet also in the stocks. That was a thing that was practiced way back then. You look narrowly unto all my paths, and you set a print upon the heels of my feet. The feet that were in the stocks, and they print against the heels. And he as a rotten thing, he's talking now about his body, it was rotting. And he as a rotten thing consumes, and my body is being consumed by these horrible, loathsome boils, as a garment that is moth-eaten. Man that is born of a woman is of few days, and full of trouble. That's Job's outlook on life at this point. You know, somehow, life always seems short. As I am getting to that place where I can look back so much further than I can look ahead, it seems that life has been very short. There are so many things that I would like to do, that I plan to do, that one day I said, I'm going to do that. But I've never gotten around to doing it. And now as time is slipping away, I'm beginning to realize there are a lot of these things I probably never will do. Life is short. I would imagine, however, that if you talk to Methuselah when he hit his 965th birthday and ask him about life, say, well, it's just really too short to do everything you wanted to do. You know, I really had some high plans and all, but looks like I'm not going to make it, you know. I think that that is an awareness that everybody has. That somehow life is too short to fulfill all of the dreams and all of the desires and ambitions that we may have had. Man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jacob, when he came down to meet the Pharaoh, the father of Joseph, and he was brought in and introduced to the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh said, how old are you, sir? And he said, the days of my pilgrimage have been 165 years. Few and evil have been my days. 165 years old? Few and evil. Much is what we read here in Job. Few days full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, but he's cut down. He flees also as a shadow and continues not. These are two figures, poetic, that are used of the brevity of life. In the Psalms, it speaks of life being as a flower that bursts forth and then fades away. The grass of the field that comes forth and is green but withers and dies so quickly. In Isaiah, he uses the same figure. It's used in the New Testament. Jesus uses it. It's used in the epistles of Paul. It's a very poetic figure of speech kind of a thing. It speaks of the shortness of life, like the flower. It blooms and the wildflowers. They're there for a couple of weeks and then they're gone. Like the shadow, life is, James said, like a vapor that appears for a moment and then disappears. The shortness of life. Only one life. It'll soon be past. But only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. Remember that. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bring me into judgment with thee? Lord, who am I? I'm really nothing. Are you observing me to bring me into judgment? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. Seeing that his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God has determined my days. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. You have appointed his boundaries. God knows exactly when and how I'm going to pass from this life. He's appointed my boundaries and I can't pass over them. When the time comes for you to go, you're going to go. Turn from him, he said, that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. God, give me an opportunity just to fill my day. But, you know, the hireling always looked for the end of the day. When the labor would be over, when I collect my pay and can go home. Now, there's hope for a tree, he says. No hope for man, but there's hope for a tree that if it is cut down, it will sprout again. The tender branch will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. You can cut down a tree, And so oftentimes, even from the roots, new branches will spring up. The moment they're watered, new branches will come on up out of the roots. So there's hope for a tree if it's cut down, that it might continue to survive, that it might continue to live, that it will bring forth a new life. But man, he dies and he wastes away. Yea, man gives up the ghost, and where is he? When giving up the ghost is giving up the spirit, and it's a reference so often in the scriptures to death. In fact, even within our text here, we have three times where he speaks about giving up the ghost or dying. It's a reference to dying. My spirit departing from my body. The body isn't the real me. The real me is spirit. My spirit lives or dwells in this body. One day my spirit will move out of this body. When it does, my body will cease to function. When my spirit moves out of the body. Now he asks the question, when the spirit leaves the body, then where is man? Where is the spirit? Where does it go? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lies down and rises not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Long after the universe flickers and dies, man will remain in his sleep. Man dies, he wastes away. His spirit leaves his body. Where does it go? Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath is over, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Oh God, that I could just hide for a while in the grave and let your wrath pass over and then remember me. An interesting thing here that the scripture tells us that God's wrath is going to come upon the earth, and after that, the resurrection, after the great tribulation. And Job is sort of asking for that. But then he asks the question, if a man dies, does he go on living? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. If I just could believe this, it would help me tremendously. I could wait. I could endure. It would give me the strength to go through. I would just wait for this whole thing to be over. I could understand things better if I knew that life continued after death. That is the question, of course, that lies deep in the heart of every one of us. It is a question that surfaces every time a friend of ours dies. When they die, the question flashes back, is that the end? Is that all? Is it all over? Or does life continue? If a man dies, does he go on living? This question of Job was not answered for Job. It remained only a question. However, when we get to chapter 19, we will find Job making a very interesting statement. Verse 25, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So Job, rising out of this despair and all, comes forth with this glorious statement of faith. But at this point, it's just a question. If a man dies, does he go on living? If I could only accept and believe this, then I would just wait for the changes to come, the metamorphosis. "You will call, and I will answer thee. You will have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now, you number my steps, but are you watching over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you saw my iniquities. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. You wash away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes, and you change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he doesn't even know it. And they are brought low, but he perceives it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Oh, what a dirge, you know, what a hopeless kind of a, and as Job said, you've just brought me to this hopeless state. He observes again nature, how that, you know, the processes of nature just wear things down. The canyons have been formed by the streams. The rocks have been removed. The canyons have been carved out by the rushing streams. Rocks wear away in time with a constant friction of the water going over them. Forms little ridges in the rocks. Things go on. But you've left man. Your forces that are constantly pushing leave us, you know, they wear us down. You prevail against him as nature prevails against that in its path, as the Eremochus is slowly destroying all of the effete. And he passes and he changes his countenance. He sends him away. His sons come to honor. He doesn't realize. You pass away and the world goes on. Life goes on, but you're not aware of it anymore. His flesh has pain. His soul within him mourns. What a sad thing when there is no hope. What a sad thing when there is no gospel of Jesus Christ. How dark is life apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Job lived apart from the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of this misery and suffering is born out of the darkness in which he lived. The darkness in which the world around you lives, who has not the hope of Jesus Christ. Oh, how this should bring us to a greater appreciation of that hope that we have in Christ. If a man dies, does he go on living? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. There is a hope. There is a promise. There's an affirmation to us from Jesus Christ. So that as we face these many difficulties in life, we face them with a hope. This life isn't all. And as Paul the Apostle, for we know that the present sufferings, which are but for a moment, cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory that shall be revealed. We know, Paul said, that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Our light affliction, but for a moment, is working this eternal weight of glory. And the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Oh, what a difference the gospel of Jesus Christ makes in my attitude towards life. In the way that I face these difficulties in life. Job lived without the hope. And it's expressed in the writings, and we see this total despair. The only hope is in the form of a question. There's no assurance. But God has given us his word, the glorious assurance of the word of God, that we shall spend our eternity in the glory of his presence in his kingdom. We who live and believe in Jesus Christ shall not die. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we shall be like him. For this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And thus our hope gives us a whole attitude towards life of victory and of glory. And we know that when we are at the end of the road, we will be ushered into his presence in the glory of his kingdom. Thank God for the hope that is ours in and through Jesus Christ. I wouldn't give up that hope for anything.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the Bible in our next lesson, as Job is accused of folly. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comment.
May the Lord bless you and keep his hand upon your life as you walk in fellowship with him. May you be strengthened day by day by the work of his Spirit within your life. And may you begin to experience his victories, his power over sin. May the love of Christ and the peace of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all of you while we are absent from each other. And may God draw us together again that we might grow in our knowledge and understanding of his loving grace through Jesus Christ.
Kids, I've got some exciting news. Pastor Chuck has written a book just for you called The Story of David and Goliath. Just listen.
David had many older brothers. His brothers were big and strong and tough enough to fight in a battle.
It's so much fun to read along with Pastor Chuck and learn about God's word.
God help me to slay the lion and the bear, so God will help me to slay this giant.
Lions?
Bears?
Goliath?
Oh my!
And parents, it's never too early to start reading to your children these timeless Bible stories taught by Pastor Chuck. Imprint God's word upon their little hearts as you read these stories over and over again. And as a gift, each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck actually reading the story of David and Goliath so your kids can read along. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or see a sneak preview of the story of David and Goliath, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.